Well, good morning, everybody. And good morning, a special good morning to those people who are online. Let's look at, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. Just out of interest, you know, because I know a lot of people, you know, these days have gadgets and phones. They look up the scriptures. How many people actually still physically look at their Bibles? You know those books? Okay, so there's quite a few of you. So what that helps me as a preacher, because I know we need to wait for you. You know, because the other guys, you know, you got the gadget. Bing, I'm there. The manual one's a bit slower. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, we should be there by now. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. For this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. I remember at one time in my life, I was driving my car, and I was angry. How many people get angry at life sometimes? And, sorry? Oh, sorry, 11:24. Forgive me for that. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11:24. Thank you for that. And, you know, I was questioning God in my car, and I was, to put it nicely, I was raising my voice. And I was questioning God what was happening. And then I pulled over the car, and I began to sob, and I began to weep. And this was the scripture that God spoke to me. Just simply, this is my body, which is broken for you. And I knew that it was about him, but I also knew it was about me. And he was saying to me, Mark, you are going through a time of being broken, but it will result in great blessing for your life. And the title of my message this morning is Breaking to Blessing. Breaking to Blessing. You know, this message was confirmed yesterday, because I really believe this is a message for people. This is the word of the Lord to people here today. But yesterday I was going through the center of town, and a song came to me. It was a real old song. I haven't listened to it for ages. Out of the blue. It says, I had nothing but brokenness and strife, but you turning into something sweet. And that word brokenness came up. And then, I kid you not, I was going through the center of town, just off Oxford Terrace, and there were about 30, all sorts of things were happening in town. And there were about 30 people there, and they were singing a secular song. And the chorus said, and you'll know it, I'm not even going to try to sing it because it'll sound awful, but it basically said, don't go breaking my heart. Yeah. Seriously, I just started singing that song, and it had brokenness in it. And then I was going along the town, and these people were just, that's the exact words they were singing. That's all I ever heard. Don't go breaking my heart. That's not bad, is it? I actually thought it was pretty awful. I know what you're thinking. You leave the singing to Paulette and the preaching to Mark, although she's a good preacher too. So, breaking to blessing, breaking to blessing. Let's talk about brokenness first, just quickly. Frank DiMaggio says this. He's an author, a speaker. He says, the word break in the Hebrew means to shatter, smash, or crush, and describes the breaking of an earthen vessel. It also describes the breaking of a human heart. Brokenness is a theme that runs through the Bible. Jeremiah 18, we read about the potter's house and the damaged vessels being broken. In Matthew 26, there is a story of the alabaster box being broken and the perfume filling the room. In John 12, verse 24, we read about the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And when that happens, the shell of grain breaks out of it and comes hundreds of seeds, which turns into fruit. And of course, Jesus is our greatest example of brokenness. And he calls us to follow that example and go through brokenness. And sometimes, if we're totally honest, it is really tough. You know what I'm talking about? And that scripture, 1 Corinthians, says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." We read it before. And so Jesus, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was nailed to the cross, and his skin was broken. So that's one way to look at it. But when Jesus was broken on the cross, it resulted in many incredible blessings, some of which we know today and experience in our lives. So God brings us through seasons where he allows situations to break things in our hearts, like self-sufficiency, pride, rebellion, stubbornness, hard-heartedness. How many are feeling challenged? Bitterness. Some really ugly stuff there, isn't it? But he replaces it with things like humility, submission, teachability, and servanthood. This season of breaking is necessary for a new season of blessing. Because we won't be able to experience that season of blessing until those things are broken and replaced with some of the good stuff. So now I know you're all keen to get to the blessing part. So we're going to look at the blessings of being broken. The blessings of being broken. The greatest blessing of brokenness is salvation. Let me share with you a little bit of my story. When I was early in my teens, I walked away from the Lord. It was the dumbest decision I made as a teenager. The dumbest. I remember the day knocking a tennis ball against the wall, and I thought, I'm going to have a break from God. That was dumb. Don't take a break from God. It's a dumb move. I said it with a smile. It's a dumb move. If you're thinking about it this morning, don't do it. It's dumb. You'll regret it. Anyway, later on in my teenage years, I moved to Dunedin. Who's here from Dunedin? Whoa-ho! I wish I was that excited about Dunedin. I won't go there. And, you know, I got into a lot of drinking. Particularly, you know, on the weekends, living for the weekends, getting drinky, a lot of get drunk. And I got into a lot of trouble. Now, I'm not a bad dude. I think you can tell that by looking at me. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not one of those guys. But I got into a lot of trouble. And one of the reasons I got into a lot of trouble is because of the people I was rubbing shoulders with. You got to be careful who you rub shoulders with. Sometimes you just have to rub shoulders with people to get into trouble. You don't even have to get involved in life. And perhaps there's somebody here today, you're rubbing shoulders with the wrong people. And God says, you need to get out of there. Oh, but I want to bring them to the Lord. But are you bringing them to the Lord, or are they bringing you away from the Lord? Get strengthened, come back later on and visit them. But maybe now's not a good time. But one of the reasons I got into big trouble was because I had a hangout with a friend. I'll use his first name because nobody will know who he is. His name is Robin. And boy, he had a mullet. I mean, people do the mullet thing now, but no. He had a good mullet. But he got me in trouble, really. And in fact, he ended up in prison for assault for a while. And these are some of the things that happened to me in my late teens in the city of Dunedin. I got my head banged against a wall. One time I was in a fight. Now, I to call me a fighter was an exaggeration. It was more like I was on the receiving end. I'm not a tough guy. I was one of those guys. And, you know, he was banging my head against the wall, and luckily a guy from Cadbury's where I worked came. He was a big guy, and he pulled him off me. Then I got my nose broken. Still looks okay. I had to get it fixed. By the friend of the guy who banged my head against the wall. It was a different time. I was in a bit of a scrap with this guy, and he came from the side. I got chased by guys in a car who had baseball bats. So we were going through the octagon, me and my friend Robin, and I heard all these tooting going on around me, the octagon. I thought, what's this about? Later on, I found out it was people who had trouble with my friend Robin. Anyway, as we drove down, I think it's Princess Street, three cars started to chase us, and they had baseball bats. And so they somehow pulled us to the side of the road, one parked in front of us, the other on the side, and the other one the back. And I think it was a miracle I got out of there, but I think what I did was I reversed on the footpath and did a reverse and got out of there. Who knows what would have happened? And they chased us with their bats and that, and we lost them somehow. I was a very dangerous driver. I lost my license due to dangerous driving. And I'm not proud of that because somebody could have got killed or hurt. And I think it was the grace of God that they didn't. I got chased by skinheads. Who remembers the skinheads? I don't think we have skinheads today. Do we? Okay, I've never seen them. Anyway, they chased us. I got my car rammed from behind. Apparently, it was some junior gang members. They rammed a car from behind. In fact, it wasn't my car, it was my grandmother's car. And I was talking to my brother over the Christmas time, and we were talking about this, and how by the end, the time I'd finished that car, it was a write-off. I remember the day when I was at night driving home early in the morning, and it was just about ready to die. It was a write-off. I got my face hit with a brick. So my friend and I were on our way to get some illegal substances. We went into a house, and in the house there was three guys there, and it just all turned sour, and they started to talk about how I've got some brothers in the gangs and they're coming over. It didn't sound good. And I wasn't going to wait to find out whether it's true or not. So I said, my brother was there too, and I said to Robin, I just shouted, run. And I ran down the stairs, and whack, a person hit me with a brick. But that didn't stop me. I just kept on moving. I remember one night, I was driving home drunk. Again, a very bad thing to do. And I remember I was feeling suicidal, and I was being erratic with the steering wheel, and I was just doing all this stuff. And I pulled over by the side of the road, and I remember just recently I began to sob, I began to weep. But you see, God was allowing me to be broken to bring me back to Him. We're saved not by works, yes, but by Jesus being broken on the cross. But many times people's brokenness is the pathway to salvation. And many of you will know before you got saved, you're probably quite a broken person. And maybe you're here today or online, and God is allowing you to be broken to get you to the place where you will invite Him into your life, where you will invite Jesus into your life. The second blessing of brokenness is relationships that take us to a new level. Relationships that take us to a new level. Relationships can make you or break you. That's why we got to get really good with relationships, particularly the key relationships. After I gave my life back to God, I went to Bible college in Tauranga. Anybody here from Tauranga? No. One person? Oh, wow. And I went to Faith Bible College, powerful year, strong anointing, wonderful time. And I was 22 years old. I was ready to go into full-time ministry. And I was ready to be the next Kiwi Billy Graham. You can tell it didn't quite work out for me. But don't doubt, I've still got another 20 years. At least. And anyway, it didn't work out that way. God said, I want you to stay in Dunedin. Sorry if you're from Dunedin. Sorry online. I'm sorry. They get quite a fit of protective Dunedinites. And, you know, I stayed there and I had to look for a job. And it was, again, a time of breaking. Tears. Often when you're breaking, there's tears. And it's a different kind of crying. There's the tears that roll down the cheek, and then there's the deep breaking tears coming from deep within, the sobbing. Some of you have been doing that even this week. Then one day, a relationship came my way that would take me to a new level. She had brown hair, brown eyes, and a beautiful smile. She was drop-dead gorgeous. 6 months later, we were engaged, and a year later, actually it was a whole year, we got married. You know, Joseph went through a time of brokenness, and then he met up with Potiphar. Then he went through a time of brokenness, and he met up with the baker. And then he went through another time of brokenness, and he met up with Pharaoh. And Joseph's relationship with Pharaoh brought him into a whole new level. Elijah, the Bible said, was plowing with his oxen, and he was breaking the ground. But I have a suspicion it was not just the ground that was being broken at that time, but Elisha's heart was being broken. But it was all about preparing him for the day when the man of God, Elijah, would walk through the door and his life would never be the same. And because God used Elijah, Elisha no longer was the plowman, but he became the prophet and the miracle worker of God, and he had a double anointing. Brokenness, relationships. Some here today, God is using brokenness you are experiencing to prepare you to meet a person or a group of people who will bring your life to a whole new level. That's what it's about. I thought you'd be more excited about that. You know, when I prepared this message, I you were standing to your feet shouting. You know, us preachers, we kind of think that stuff and it doesn't quite work out that way. I'll say it again. God is using the brokenness you're experiencing to prepare you to meet a person or a group of people who will bring your life to a whole new level. Yeah! There it is! That's what I saw. Woo! Okay, you had a bit of help from me. I helped you out a bit there. Only if every point we made was like that when we preached, eh? The next blessing of brokenness is advancement in our calling. Other words you can use is vision, dream, or the purposes of God. Those are words you can use in our calling. I have found that I go through a time of brokenness and then advance in my call. Time of brokenness and advance in my call. Joseph went through brokenness, and he advanced, his call. Eventually, he met up with Potiphar. Now, there's a man by the name of Willie Hansen, and he is the father, he's passed away now, but he's the father of Leo Hansen, who, you know, just recently stepped down from leading Majestic Church. And he was a pastor in the 70s, somewhere around there, 1670s. And he experienced some tragedies. The first thing is that him and his wife had full-term stillborn twins. Tough. Unimaginable. But then not many months or might be a few years, I'm not sure, his wife passed away. And the story goes that one night he was playing his accordion, and the song, he began to write a song that's called "Thou Mourning, Thou Hast Turned My Mourning Into Dancing." That song went all over the world. Willie Hanson's story is an example of how God can do great things out of deep brokenness. It is the pathway to greatness. Don't shoot. I'm the messenger. Don't shoot me. You don't like this message, have a talk to him. But I've learned you'll lose. Any argument with God, you'll lose. In fact, Paulette was saying there's another guy who wrote this song. It is "Well With My Soul," a hymn quite a long time ago, a few hundred years ago, I think it was. Same thing, tragedy, lost his family, and that's the song he wrote. And we're still singing it today. Not so much in this church, but every now and again it comes up. "It is well with my soul." God doesn't cause our tragedies or trials, but he uses the brokenness we experience from them to accomplish our calling and dreams. Are you in a time of breaking? Get ready to see an advancement in your calling. That was another one of those times where it was like, shout hallelujah. Shout yes. There you go. The next blessing of brokenness is an increase in the anointing. How many want to have more of the anointing? Now, you may not want to after I've just finished this point. You know, true story. I told God one time, and I was serious at the moment, because it's spoken to me about having a double anointing and all this. And I said, "Lord, don't give me a double anointing. Because double anointing, double trouble. It's double brokenness." I was serious. Give me a single anointing and less trials. You would think God would listen. He just kept on doing what he was doing. Shut up, Mark. And I'm glad he did. But you see, the anointing is precious. It's tough to get, but it's precious. It's worth the price, because what it does in our lives and how it wonderfully touches people and saves people. Other words we can use for the anointing is the power of God or the grace of God. To put it simply, the anointing empowers us to do what we are called to do. I have found that seasons of breaking is followed by an increase in the anointing. Seasons of breaking, increasing the anointing. Seasons of breaking, increasing the anointing. One day, long time ago, in another life, I was a pastor. Hard to believe. My wife and I, we planted a church. And we were building up to 80 people after 3 or 4 years, and things were going well. And then all of a sudden, we had a church split, and almost half of the church left. It was tough. Boy, tough days. Then 6 months later, the Christchurch earthquake hit in February, and the auditorium, which is a great auditorium, it was Christchurch High School, about 300-something seats, and we wanted to fill it. It was demolished, destroyed beyond repair. And so we went and found something a lot less good. Oh, it was tough. Not the worst thing I've experienced in my life. No. I won't tell you about that now. But God was using those situations to break me. Then one Sunday, all of a sudden, I believe we're going to have some suddenlies in our church. Sudden moves of God. All of a sudden, it'll catch us by surprise. It's coming. And a fresh move of God broke out. And for months, I felt the heat and the anointing run on my head and on my shoulders. The anointing increased upon me, but it came from a time of breaking. Every anointed man or woman will tell you the anointing comes out of times of brokenness. Catherine Kuhlman, 70s, around that time, incredible miracle ministry. Apparently she would walk past people just, and they would just fall over in the power of God. But she would say that it came out of brokenness. And she remembered she was walked down a dead-end street, and she said, that's the day Catherine Kuhlman died. Because she married the wrong person, she got divorced, there was all sorts of criticism against her. But she said that was the key to the glory of God on her life. Benny Hinn, I don't agree with everything Benny Hinn says or does, but I believe he's genuine, and I believe he's one of the most anointed men of our generation. He's been used by God to save thousands and heal many people and touch and bless many people. But he'll always say, he always used to say, you got to die. You know, Benny Hinn is sort of dramatic way, you got to die. He'd talk about surrender, he'd talk about brokenness. He knew how he got what he got was through suffering, death, and brokenness. Some of you this morning, you got to die. Metaphorically, of course. Let's get that straight. See, wine in the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. And in biblical times, they would make wine in a wine press. And they would get under their feet and they would crush the grapes and get that grape juice out, which would become wine. It's the seasons of crushing and breaking that produce the anointing. You may not like it. You may want to throw a stone at me, but it's the truth. It's the seasons of crushing and breaking that produce the anointing. Some of you here, you are producing anointing. You don't know it, but you're experiencing crushing and breaking, but you are producing a whole new batch of anointing. In fact, I believe this church and the churches in this nation through the earth are going through some breaking and testing, but we are producing a whole new anointing and move of God that's going to shake the earth. Some of you are in God's wine press at the moment. Noah, just felt to say that. But when this time is over, you are going to see an increase in the anointing and the presence of God upon your life. And oh, what great days they are going to be. Anointing and presence like we have never known. Wow. You think you know something now? You know nothing. I know nothing. Because what's about to come is far greater. You were swimming with your ankles. You were playing in the kids' pool. But there is a river of God that's coming that we will not be able to swim. It'll take charge of churches and lives, and we just got to flow with that thing. Don't dare try to move it or manipulate. It's too strong. And so it's the broken people that will flow with it. The people who are not broken will fight it. But the broken people will flow with it. And it'll take us to places we've never been before. Hosea 10 verse 12. Hosea 10 verse 12. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness on you. Of course, fallow ground is the hard ground. You know, the water, the rain will not go into the ground that way. It will not go into the seed, so the ground has to be broken. And so before revival, I've actually missed something here, but I'll come back to it. Before revival comes, there is a breaking of hearts of Christians and church leaders. Now, I missed the next point, so let's go back a bit here. The next blessing of brokenness is revival. Okay, so I just jumped somehow all over the place there. Frank DiMaggio says this: anything that is broken is deemed by man to be unfit, and he ends up throwing it away. But to God, only that which is broken is useful. Just as flowers yield their perfume when they are crushed and grapes produce wine when they are squashed, so the vessels of God, his people, are ready for revival only when they are broken. The disciples are a great example of this. The Bible says with Peter, he was, you know, Jesus was taken away. Peter was weeping. And then began the breaking time. All the disciples, I'm sure, would have wept. They would have been broken. And when Jesus was broken on the cross, they were being broken too. When Jesus died on the cross, they were dying too, because all their hopes and all their dreams were pinned on Jesus, and now he was dying. Have you ever been there? Oh, but God's the God of resurrection. You think your dream is dying or dead? No, it's not. It's just sleeping. Because when the power of God comes and blows upon that thing, it will rise again. And it'll rise just as Jesus rose with a resurrection body that was totally different. So where your calling, your dream, whatever it is, will rise to something far better than before you laid it on the altar. But anyways, when the time of breaking was over, they were in the prayer upper room praying. Then a sound from heaven came, rushing mighty wind, and a great move of God hit the earth and changed the world. The blessing of brokenness is revival. The last few years, many Christians and leaders around the world have been experiencing breaking. Some people thought, well, when this COVID thing is over, it's all good, chummy. Everything's fantastic now. To be disappointed, no, the breaking is still continuing, because God has his time clock. Tickety-tock, tickety-tock. May not be your climb top. May not be yours. You want to rush it, but God has his time for the church and for the hour when it will break out into a great move of God. But at the moment, it's the breaking. But when the time is over, I believe there will be great moves of God in the earth. And I said moves, not just a move. There'll be wells all over, different wells, different streams. But somehow they'll all work together. You look at any move of God, you look at any revival, there's always a time of brokenness first. I don't feel this next move is that long away. The next blessing of brokenness is new guidance. New guidance. Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9. I'll just read it quickly. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come to you. Do not be like the horse. I don't know much about breaking of horses, breaking the horse in, except what I've seen in the cowboy movies. We don't have cowboy movies so much. But I remember there was a wild horse, and they'd get on that horse, and they'd ride that thing, and until eventually it was broken in. And with the harness, all you'd have to do is just, you know, pull it to the left, and it'd go left, pull it to the right, go right. You just gently, you know, kick the horse, and it would move. And then all you'd have to do is maybe even go, and it would start to move. You see, God wants to get us to that place. Instead of being like the mule, I'm not going. He wants to get us a place where I will guide you with my eye. You know somebody so well, all you need to do is look at them. And they know exactly what you're thinking. God wants to get us that place. We're just so easily led. We're not like the mule. Stubborn. One of the reasons for brokenness is to break the spirit of stubbornness. Sometimes God wants to guide us into a season of blessing, but at the beginning, the path does not look like it leads to blessing. And so we say no, like a 2-year-old child. No, God. So he's dragging us. Come on, Bob. Hopefully there's nobody here that's called Bob. Come on, Bob. No, God. No. You won't win, Bob. You might not be Bob, but you might be John or Phil. You won't win. Believe me, I've tried. God's bigger and tougher and smarter than you. And he loves you so much, he won't let you win. And so God has to break our stubbornness and pride until we are willing to follow his leading, which eventually leads to the blessing. Because at first we go a path that doesn't look like the blessing, but eventually it leads to blessing. You are on the path of brokenness, but it's leading to a whole bunch of blessings that are coming upon your life that will overtake your life. I thought you'd be more excited about that. The last blessing of brokenness with 1 minute to spare. The last blessing of brokenness is encounters with God. Psalm 51 verse 17. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. He's near. There's something about God. He likes it when we're broken, because when we're broken, we're soft, we're humble, we're teachable. Yes, Daddy, what do you want? I don't want to do that, but okay. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, and he was being broken. Then one day, he was walking past a bush, and it was on fire. And he encountered God that day, and he got a revelation of who God was, and he got empowered, to anointed to fulfill his calling to be a deliverer of the people of Egypt and take him out and bring him into the promised land. Are you in a time of breaking? Get ready for some new encounters. Hey, that's good news, people. Whoa, what did you think I said? Get ready for some new encounters like you've never experienced before. They will change you. They will rearrange you. They will heal you. They will deliver you. And they will set your life on a blessing you've never had before. Stand to your feet this morning, please. And the team, if you could come. Anybody here, when I mentioned the book Elevation, preparing for a powerful season, they kind of thought, oh, that sounds like me. Just start playing, guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We've been laughing and having a good time. But there'll be some people here. You're broken. And God has come to touch you. He's come to encourage you. He's come to lift your heart up, strengthen you. And the journey may not be over, but this is a time where He's going to meet you, strengthen you. Some of you, you walked into this place, but you didn't know it wasn't going to be a normal Sunday. This is your time. He's going to talk to you. This is your meeting place. Let the tears flow. Let your heart open up to God. Let the struggle stop. For some of you, I feel to say, the struggle's over. You've been wrestling with God. You've been fighting. But you've come to an altar now. And let your heart's cry be, yes, Lord. Not my will be done, but yours. That's what happened with Jesus. As He faced the cross. Father, don't let me go to the cross. He knew what it was like. He was the Son of God, but He didn't want to go to the cross. Don't let me go. He pleaded with God. He wrestled with His Father. But in the end, He said, Father, Thy will be done. Aren't you glad that Jesus said yes to the Father? If He had not said yes, we would not be here. We would not be saved. We would not be washed of our sin. We would not be destined to hell, a heaven. We would not be destined to heaven. We would not have the great calling that we're walking out. But because Jesus said, I will. Some of you don't realize that there are people that you are going to touch and people you are going to bless, and they are waiting for you to say, I will, God. Because as long as you say no, you cannot touch those people. You cannot, because you have to pass through this. Say, yes, I will, God, whatever He's taking you through. And then on the third day, He rose from the dead. Millions upon millions of lives have been saved across the years, touched, healed. And we're here because of that, because a man by the name of Jesus, Son of God, said, I will. I believe the Lord is challenging people here today. You're in a situation. It might be a job. It could be anything. And you're saying no. And God's saying, you've got to make a decision. But as you do, it'll be a blessing. You'll say, God, you're right. You're right all the long. You knew what you were doing. Yes, Lord. Say yes to God. Whew. You know, before we do something here, I was talking about how I was being broken. I was away from the Lord. Maybe that story resonates with you here today or online. You are not following God. You are being broken, and God is allowing these things happen in your life to cause you to bow the knee to Jesus, to put aside your pride in what people think, and say, God, I invite you into my life. Jesus, come into my life. And watch how the trouble begins to end and new blessing begins to happen in your life. Oh, it won't mean that you won't have tests, difficulty. You will. But the difference is that Jesus and God will be with you to help you through them all. Is there anybody here today who will say, I want to give. I want God to come into my life. I want to Jesus to come into my life. I want to turn from the way I'm living. I want to make a decision to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Raise your hand if there's anybody here today. And there might be online too. Anybody here today? Awesome. Can I ask you please to come forward, those people who put up their hands? Come forward now. If that's okay, take a bold step. Just maybe somebody go with them to help encourage them. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just stand over here, guys. Come over here. I know it's a bit scary. Just come over here if you can. I know it's scary because we just want to pray for you. I thought there was one other person, but that's okay. They haven't come up. That's okay. But if that person didn't feel they could come, you can still accept Jesus where you are, okay? You need to know that. So when we pray this, just pray that prayer. So I already know your name, Kat, I think, and Rebecca. This is the best decision you will ever make. But you didn't know each other. No, you knew each other. Knew each other 20 years ago. Oh, you didn't know she was here. First children together. Hey, guys, I won't fool you. The road ahead won't always be easy, following God. But he'll be with you. But never turn back. But I believe you make the decision today, you're going to find your life changes. As you get around good people and you begin to study the word and begin to apply it, you'll begin to see your life goes from trouble to blessing. Blessing. Just repeat after me. And if you're online and you also want to give your life to Jesus or you're away from the Lord, you can repeat this too. So guys, just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I'm broken. I'm lost. But I'm so glad you are my Savior. You are my friend. You died on the cross for me. And every horrible sin I've committed has been washed. It is a new day for me. I accept your salvation. I invite you, God, into my life. Come, walk with me. Father, I pray now in the mighty name of Jesus that they would feel that wonderful presence come into them now, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that the chains of the past that seek to drag them back, that seek to bring them into trouble will be broken now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare trouble ending now. It's a different life for you, Kat, as you begin to walk in this journey. You've known certain things, but it's all going to change. Somebody wants just to pray with you and give you some information, so they're just going to go with you over there for a while, if that's okay. What an awesome God. Oh, what an awesome God. Two people saved. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? There's a party in heaven. And Pastor Wes will be rejoicing. How many people would say this morning, Mark, that's for me. I'm experiencing brokenness. Just raise your hand high so I can see it. Yeah, there's lots of people. Thus says the Lord. God has just spoken to you. Thus says the Lord. What we're going to do just in finishing up this morning, I believe that it's not a matter of praying a prayer, well, let it end, but sometimes something can happen where it can end right here this day. But sometimes it's just a matter of God strengthening us, encouraging us on the journey to the path that leads to blessing, to help us not to give up. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. And when we're broken, many times there's hurt, there's disappointing. And today I believe God just wants to touch that hurt and touch that disappointment. And so we're going to sing this song this morning. And you can just stay out there if you want. That God can touch you right where you are, His Spirit. But you may also feel to come forward and we can pray for you. And I believe that the Lord, the Father, wants just to wrap His arms around you and give you a big I love you hug. So as we sing this song, if you want to come and just kneel or whatever and just have some prayer, I want to encourage you to come forward.